to truly believe in the magic.
Hey, Magic fans, and welcome to the Let's Talk Magic podcast, an Orlando Magic podcast. Today, we are recording episode 164, and we will be joined by our very special guest shortly, David Steele. We're going to talk about a little bit of reaction to the Warriors game and say we're going to be getting into one or two things with David Steele, the legend himself. Before we do all that, Gary, how are you? Good to be joined by you, mate.
We've got an evening with David Steele. Could it be any better just before Easter, Paul?
Hey, mate, I don't think you're wrong on that one, my friend. I don't think you're wrong on that one.
It's 100% right. I know I am. How are you?
Really well, my friend. Yeah, you're really well. Looking forward to this to start with. And then the Easter weekend should be a nice family time. So, yeah, looking forward to it. Any plans for yourself, pal?
Probably regret watching a game of football.
You see, as a Leeds fan, mate, I'm hoping that I am not saying that. It's a big weekend for us, this one.
Well, we're playing at Cardiff on the weekend. So, I don't know, whatever happens, I'm either going to be happy or I'm going to have an angry Welshman blown up my phone one way or the other. So.
Yeah, it's always fun when it's the... one of the Let's Talk Magic guys going against one another as far as football goes, with three of us being in the same league.
I don't get my hopes up on it ever, really. I just kind of like, I probably know what's going to happen here. So
I always tell G that Cardiff are one of the teams that they seem to have Leeds' number, so I never expect anything, and it's always a bonus when we do get something. So yeah, all good. Okay, should we get into this then? Should we do this?
Go for it.
Let's have a little talk about things that, not necessarily about the Warriors game, but a bit of a reaction and a few things that I noticed that I think it's worth us talking about. We've only played the one game since we recorded, and that was the Warriors game. The home loss, 101-93. Yes, honestly, a disappointing loss. It saw the usual overreaction on... social media. You would believe that we were eliminated from playoff contention. Sack everybody, trade everybody, one of those things. So a couple of quick points to discuss. First, in the context of the result itself and the results around us last night and recently, and in facing a Warriors team that were desperate for the win, probably needed that win more than we did in respect of their season. Was that a bad result?
I think there's a perfect storm happening for the reaction to take place as it was. I think, firstly, the expectations have changed a little bit because the Magic are a lot better than...
Yeah,
if we zoom back to the start of the season, it was a case of, if we can get 500 and we can be in the play-in, that's great.
Yeah,
but here we are, and we're in the end game, shall we call it, of the season, the regular season, and the Magic are still chasing home court. And I think that's elevated expectations, but I think there's a lot more going with that. With the game itself, the Warriors came in, Draymond got tossed out of the game, Jonathan Kuminga wasn't playing, so straight away they had two big guys down. On top of that, you had the very clear reaction in the Kia Center to the Warriors, where it kind of felt like almost like a Boston, well, probably worse than a Boston game, actually. It felt like the Jordan Bulls had appeared, and like not a lower end Western Conference team, which is the truth of it. So I think you've probably got a split of, this is coming through where there's a lot of Warriors love. There's people cheering Steph Curry like he was Michael Jordan. And on the flip of it, there's a lot of people like ourselves who are, this is a game the Magic could win. And then the Warriors played that game like it mattered in the first quarter and throughout. We didn't look like a team that was rested at all. And I think from my angle, like I never cry about a game result or anything like that. But I remember I was watching the first quarter and I was just like, this is really frustrating. You know, the energy levels weren't great, and we jacked up a lot of bad shots, a lot of bad threes, which we did against Sacramento. So I think all of that kind of came together. And it was a very, very, very frustrating watch. And it was made even worse when Curry hit the dagger and he did the players giving it the whole stupid celebration thing, and he's kicking the chair and then he's walking us off. And this, you can't tell people what to do, but it was like as though the Warriors had played at home when he was going down the tunnel high-fiving people. And that actually annoyed me. So I think when you bring it all together, like we're sat on the other side of the pond, and I'll ask what your reaction was in a second, but for me, what annoyed me was the Curry dagger, the little celebration, the noise that was coming through on the TV, and then the send-off, and just the whole, as though it was the Jordan Bulls that were in town. And I just found that really frustrating, because I was like, this isn't it. These are a team we should beat at home.
Right, my reaction, I don't make any secret of the fact that I'm a Steph Curry fan. I always have been. Mm-hmm. Before I was a Magic fan, he was kind of one of the players that actually got me into enjoying watching basketball. As everybody knows, I didn't have a team for a period of time. And when I decided I wanted to support a team, it was, I'm not bandwagoning. I'm not jumping just for a particular player. I want a team that we can support as a family. The place that we feel at home and all this sort of thing, mm-hmm. was Orlando. And at that point, we weren't particularly good. Should we put it that way? So, you know, I didn't feel that I'm just jumping on for a star player or a team that's successful. I can't be doing with that. But I still like Steph Curry, and I'll always enjoy watching Steph Curry. I'm not going to lie. Didn't like the three going in. That was a real kick in the spuds. But I somehow understood his reaction, the celebration, because there were so many Warriors fans in, and I think because he was struggling so much in that game. He had a very poor game.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was an element of relief to him and how much they needed that win. I didn't like, and I never liked to see anybody reacting the way they did, where he did in coming off and kicking the chairs and all that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. No, can't be doing with that. And it, we always try to keep it polite on the podcast, don't we? But it was, he just came across in that moment as a complete idiot. I didn't like it. And I don't think it was particularly something you expect to see from him. I don't think it was a good example. I don't think it was a good role model behavior. So yeah, I do get where people are brassed off at that with how he was. As to the game, we had a bad game. But it's again, it was against, I don't think the result was as bad as people are making out, simply because we came back from a long way down to within 1 point and a really botched possession prevented us from taking the lead.
Mm-hmm.
You then have to put into context that we were playing against a team that are very used to handling pressure situations, and they are certainly in one at this moment in time with their fight for getting into the play-in tournament in the Western Conference. As to the Magic, and you and I speak about this on previous occasion, but you do see on a regular basis across sport, young teams having a couple of games where they have a wobble, that they're in a strong position, and in those big moments, as they learn how to win in those pressure situations, they get a couple of three bad results that probably shouldn't have been. We could have easily won against Sacramento. That game was there for the taking, in my opinion. Last night, we'd have had a couple more guys actually turn up. That game was there for the taking. The Warriors are not the team that they were.
Yeah.
But for me, those sorts of losses and those moments that we saw last night are part of developing a strong mindset and understanding how to win under pressure. we've said how far we are in front of where we were last season and what our expectations and hopes were for the season. We've been happy with 500 and being in the play-in. As you've just said, we're in the contention for home court in the postseason. But we have learned this season how to handle losing a good lead and dealing with that. We have learned how to come back from large deficits. We have, to some extent, been developing that ability to overcome not getting calls. This is all part of development. And at this moment in time, for me, games like last night are a different kind of pressure that this team have, apart from four people, as we've said, there's J.I., there's Markel, there's Gary Harris, and there is Joe Ingles, who has experience of the playoffs. Other than that, there isn't a member of our team on court that has experience of the playoffs, I don't think. I might be wrong, but I don't think there is. So they are learning a new kind of pressure and how to deal with those situations. Yeah, it didn't help that we played badly for long stretches last night. I mean, cry, we went cold for so many minutes at a time. Mm-hmm. It was incredible. But that was one that I do think it got away. We got back and it got to within 1 point. And it was through a botched possession that then we saw that Curry dagger. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think last night's game, to be honest, I know we'll come on to this, but I think the performance of Cole Anthony last night was almost in the same breath as the performance of Jonathan Isaac against Sacramento.
Yeah.
He was absolutely outstanding last night. And it was one of those where, again, I'll go back to it. It really frustrated me hearing the... And obviously people maybe selling tickets to Warriors fans and such. And Curry's a player who brought you to the NBA, but if I had a time machine... And I'd go back in time and watch the Magic playing against the Bulls and Michael Jordan's playing. For those 48 minutes, I am booing everything Michael Jordan's done. Or he's not getting the cheer out of me.
Yeah, I mean,
just frustrating.
I was at the corresponding game last season.
Yep.
And I'd said that my ideal would be Steph Curry had a good game. I got to see him knocking a load of points, drop a few threes. But the Magic beat them. That's exactly what I got. Did I cheer Steph Curry? Did I applaud him? No. Did I? Hell. Mm-hmm. I was enjoying watching what he was doing.
Yeah.
But no, I didn't want to see a Steph Curry winner. Good God, no. I was there to support the Magic. And no, that won't change. Just because you like a player doesn't mean you want him. What was it? Somebody had said, I saw a quote today on X or something like that.
Hmm.
You support the name on the front of the shirt.
Yeah.
Bob on.
Look, end of the game, as Curry's coming off the court and he's had a good, whatever, I would applaud Steph Curry.
Yep.
If he was walking by, I've done that when I've been to Sunderland games and there's been greats like your Cantona's, your Henry's, et cetera. Sorry to mention Cantona to you there, but I would applaud a Klinsmann.
Yeah.
You know, that type of player where I would go, you know what? You've had a great game. We're getting subbed off for 5 minutes to go. Polite applause. Thanks for the ticket money, but I hope we win.
Yeah,
and that's kind of how I see it. I was like, you know, Steph Curry's a great player. He's got a great legacy. Hall of Famer one day. But I don't want to see your dagger celebrations, kicking chairs and high five. Get out of here. Do a Draymond and leave.
I'd have been booing that. I'm not going to lie. I'd have been booing that 100%. But, mate, coming back to Cole, you and I are both huge fans of Cole. We both love Cole. We firmly believe he is a massive part of the team on and off the court. And it's good to see him getting back to being himself. His figures over the last few games have really improved. Are you happy to see him remain as a sixth man and occasional finisher, or would you like to see a change of role for him?
I think the fact that we've had a lot of injuries in the guard position and Mosley's still stuck with Cole as coming off the bench with the minutes he gets shows you how Mosley sees him.
Yep.
So he's kind of, whatever I think, I'm kind of like, we're not going to put Cole in the starting lineup. I think he's got that role where him and Jonathan Isaac right now are in that, they're our second unit that can change a game massively, one offensively, one all the way around, but especially defensively. So I'm happy for him to be where he is. But my view is that the best players finish. They get the minutes and they finish. So if you said to me, who are our best five players I want on the court, when we've got the call that we're getting again now, which I think is more regular, this is what Cole is. We spoke about things going on for him off the court where he had that big slump. Cole's one of the best five players on the Magic.
Yep.
And therefore, Cole's a finisher. And the best backcourt finishing the game for me is Jalen Suggs and Cole Anthony. And I've said I will die on that hill.
I'm fully with you.
Sorry,
with you.
G.
I'm happy to see Cole bringing that energy from the bench. And he does, we've said this before, at times there's an excitement when Cole gets the ball. And there's that energy comes as he comes on as part of this second unit. And you need a sixth man. You need a strong player to be able to lead the bench. I'm happy to see Cole as that in that role. He seems to have embraced it. And I'm entirely in agreement. He's a finisher for us.
That energy, though, where I think it had gone, where Cole was having his problems and he didn't look like the same guy, that energy's back.
It is.
It's in his bounce, it's in his swagger, it's in how he's attacking the hoop, it's in his shot. He's playing totally differently. He's playing like, you know, the best version of Cole Anthony. So when you've got that and you've got Jonathan Isaac, those two are in form. They are absolute. GI's fit and Cole's where he is right now. They are huge, huge parts of the fabric of what success has to be for this team. Because there was a call hit like a kind of like a fadeaway towards the end of the game in the fourth quarter last night. I think it was his last bucket. And there was only two players on the Magic who were going to hit that shot, really. And it was Cole Anthony or Paolo Banchero, where I would have the confidence at that point. Jalen, dagger threes, pull up threes, yes. But that particular shot I looked at, I was like, the best scorers on the team to be able to do that are Cole Anthony and Paolo Banchero when Cole's at the top of his game. And that's what he brings. At the top of his game, we've spoken before about what we need in a guard, and we need a three-level scorer to go alongside Jalen Suggs. Now, Cole, for whatever reason, this season had a dip. People can talk about the defensive end with Cole, which they will. But on the offensive end, when you get this Cole Anthony is what we need, a three-level scorer, a guy who can take a game away from a team, a guy who can give you 25 points off the bench, a guy who's going to rebound for you, a guy who can get you the clutch points like he did in the fourth quarter last night, stretch the floor, all of that. When you've got Cole playing like this, that is what you get.
He single-handedly kept us in it.
Yeah, undoubtedly. Here's one. People's pain to see Steph Curry and the best guard on the floor last night was without a shadow of a doubt Cole Anthony.
With you. All the way, mate. No arguments from me. None at all. I thought Cole was phenomenal last night.
The GOAT.
He was phenomenal last night. The other guy, you've been mentioning him, and we cannot ignore him. Jonathan Isaac. He produced a game last night. Playing almost 25 minutes. We're seeing those minutes ramping up. Looking across his recent performances, should he start?
I don't think it's going to happen this year. Maybe next year. But should he get the minutes of a starter? Yes. For me, the best five players that the Orlando Magic can put on the court are Paolo Banchero, obviously.
Yep.
Jalen Suggs.
Yep.
Franz Wagner.
Yep.
Cole Anthony. Jonathan Isaac. That's so, Orlando's best five.
Are you happy to see that just as the finishing unit then, as opposed to the starting unit? And we've already discussed Cole, so I know that we're in the same boat that we've...
Yeah. I think this late in the season and the way the minutes are distributed right now, it would be an incredibly brave move for Jamal Mosley to make that change. However, in the playoffs, when the minutes are being distributed, that is what I would do. Right now, the players that are producing, we know what Paolo can do. We know the defenses are going to go Paolo. Oh, Jalen's had a poor couple of games, if I'm being brutally honest. His last couple of games, I don't think they've been very good.
Not been his best. Not been his best at all.
I don't think Franz has had a particularly good time of it recently. He's a player who's... I've gone on about it before. I'm not going to dig the guy out. He's been great for us over his 3 years, but I think this has been his hardest stretch. So the other two players who get in there, I would say a Cole, because he's our other best guard, and G will be kicking the TV when I say that. Sorry, you know where I'm at on this, G.
What's an opinion based, mate?
You know where I'm at. I'm not changing my mind on that. And Jonathan Isaac, for me, is better than Wendell.
Would you play him if we start him? Would you play him at the centre? So as we don't necessarily have a traditional centre, in the same way as I suppose you could say Golden State don't, with playing Draymond at the centre role.
That's where he's going to see minutes, because he's not going to see minutes of power forward. So it's either a case of whether you want him at the three or whether you want him at the five. And I think even though Franz has had some struggles this year, Franz Wagner is not losing his spot in that team. You know, we saw little glimpses of fourth quarter Franz in the back end of the Sacramento game.
Yeah.
And it is there. The player is there. I think he's just struggling at the minute. You know, but Jonathan Isaac's going to get minutes. You look at the playoffs and you look at who we'd be matched up against, it's probably going to come at the five. Because is it even position basketball anymore?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was going to ask you, because I suppose we could see, you could drop Franz back to effectively the two guard role. Have a front court of Paolo, J.I. and another. And I guess that the argument would be, would you put an extra shooter in? Would you go with Goga at the centre? Would you go with Wendell as the centre? So as you've got three, I mean, it's three big men that you're putting out there, whatever.
I think for scoring, you'd probably see that they would go with Wendell, over, like, just in terms of where the minutes are allocated and the trust's based. I think there's a case where you would give Goga minutes. I'd have given Goga minutes last night, personally. Couldn't have got any worse, and the Warriors aren't the biggest team going. I've seen this on Twitter, and I've said it before. For a big team, I don't think we're as good at rebounding as we could be. But then it comes down to, if we do that, Franz is in the backcourt with Jalen Suggs. And right now, who would I want on the court? Cole, Goga, or Wendell? Cole. Because he spreads the floor. Franz is right now is not shooting well. Wendell, I guess you could argue, is, but depends who he's up against. Wendell, the nightmare for Wendell is someone like, for me, Brook Lopez in the playoffs, a matchup, a physically bigger guy who isn't a superstar center. If you put him up against Embiid, or you put him up against Jokic, Wendell will give them a real bit of a hard time. But my worry is, and obviously we won't see this, but someone like Jonas Valanciunas, Brook Lopez, I guess maybe he's Poeltl, that type of player, where they'd be in there as a big body. Hartenstein, maybe.
Oh, I was just about to say the New York guy, Isaiah Hartenstein.
Yeah, Isaiah Hartenstein, Mitchell Robinson, that type of that guy, where I think they are actually somebody who would worry Wendell. So it depends what the matchup is for me. There's certain players Wendell gives a really hard time to, really hard time, and his game drives them nuts. And there's other players where they're not as big a name, but they make that extra weight and that extra 2 inches in height count.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
I suppose I'll give my opinion on it. I don't know as I would actually start JI at this moment in time for the simple reason that you've already said. It's at this stage of the season. Do you want to go messing about with the rotations too much? Do you want to change the dynamic of that second unit? I'm more interested in the finishing unit and him being a part of that. I'll be honest with you. And we are seeing that.
Hypothetically, Paul, and I know this is slightly before your time when you came in as a Magic fan, but if Jamal Mosley made the move to put Jonathan Isaac into the starting lineup and the Magic got bounced in the first round where he put, you know it's going to come back then of why did you mess with the team formula? Because we hear it now. When Jameer Nelson came back in for the finals and Rafa Alston was in form, that is a what-if in our fan base, rightly. But it's a what-if. Who is the better player in Magic history? It's Jameer Nelson. Who was the player who was playing really well back then? It was Rafa Alston. At that point, Jameer had been injured. But that was the call that was made by Van Gundy. So I think Jamal Mosley would actually have to have huge cojones to go, I'm actually going to make this change now.
Right, well, I was about to say that they're the sort of calls that either make a coach a legend or lose them the jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And there's plenty of coaches sat looking around going, that one decision. Mate, like Budenhoser at Milwaukee in the playoffs last season, though you can't tell me that the decisions he made did not have some direct link to him losing that job in the summer.
And this is the thing, like, we can all have an opinion on it, but the reality is what you and I say, or anybody else, apart from Jamal Mosley, really doesn't count.
No, exactly.
Because they don't make the decision and they don't lose their job. We can do it from the most lowest stakes angle of all time. Like, I can sit here and go, yep, I'd give Cole massive minutes and I would give Jonathan Isaac these minutes and I would do X, Y, and Z. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all.
And we have zero experience of that. We are talking as fans, not as experts. Yeah. And we acknowledge that. We don't pretend. Oh, we don't pretend.
Absolutely. You know, Jamal Mosley, look, if he was sat on this podcast now or it was an in-person conversation, Jamal Mosley would put us in the cleaners with every aspect of basketball. No under man now. If Jamal Mosley wants to rock up and talk to me about teaching, I'm pretty confident I could put Jamal Mosley in the cleaners because that's my job. But at the end of the day, when it comes to basketball, the likes of Mosley, anyone who's coached, anyone who's played at a professional level, I am not even going to go there because I am more out of my depth than Danny DeVito in the deep end of a swimming pool. So that's where it is at.
You're on a roll with these analogies at the moment, aren't you? And we won't go into the one that you dropped out on X last night.
Yeah, well, I've got to say that the really worrying thing
which had me howling.
I'd love to say I'd plan them, but I actually don't. They just come to me, and that's quite worrying. Sorry. Anyone who was watching on our little X group chat last night, I do apologise.
It was a stunner. To babysit it. What a line. Anyway, moving on swiftly. Before we go on to getting time with David, I'm going to do our attraction tickets plug. If you are looking to head to Orlando or any major European city, please check out our links for attraction tickets on our website and also linked in the description of this podcast. They are the leading UK ticket agent for hotels, tickets, the best theme parks and attractions in the world. Walt Disney World, Universal Studios, SeaWorld, Disneyland Paris, and also things like Alton Towers, Thorpe Park in the UK. They do tickets for those also. Attraction tickets also sell Orlando Magic tickets, very important if you are looking at a trip to the playoffs, which we will be involved in. They do them at competitive prices. And so when you're booking your next holiday, use our link in the description of this podcast. See what they have to offer. You could also,
Just on that, just could you clarify for the listeners, does that include the Orlando water parks? Because if Danny DeVito is listening, he might want to try the deep end out.
They do everything, Orlando. He can even go up in a hot air balloon if he'd like.
There you go, Danny. There you go, Danny.
That's probably a better option for him. So now, let's get David on. And we are now joined by our very, very good friend, who we are delighted to have back on, the voice of the Orlando Magic, David Steele. David, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's great to see you guys again.
Thank you so much for coming on, mate. It's always a pleasure. And we recently saw you being honoured at Centre Court in the Kia Centre as part of the 35th anniversary celebrations. How was that? Was it a bit of a surprise or...?
No, it wasn't a surprise. It was very nice, though. You know, the as you guys know, the Magic have been very, very good to me through 35 years with the team. And so they asked me if it would be okay to have me step out at midcourt and do a little 35-year honoring. And, you know, the 35th anniversary, we've seen Jeff Turner was honored and Sidney Powell, Sid Powell, who's been a longtime equipment manager for the team. So it's just a nod and an acknowledgement for people that have been around a long time. It's a longevity award, Paul, Gary. That's what it is. But it's all nice. It's good. It's
not saying you're any good. Nice. It's just saying, hey, you've been here a long while. You're past the furniture. Yeah. Exactly. We know different, my friend. We know different.
So following on from that, David, you obviously played a key role in the Diesel, my favourite player ever, Shaq, having his banner raised. So how did it feel and what were your memories and interactions over the years with Shaq that stood out to you when you were looking
back? So many, Gary, so many memories. And that was really a special night to see him back in Central Florida, in the building, see Penny Hardaway and Nick Anderson and Dennis Scott and some of the other guys that played in that era, really special. And you could feel the love, the camaraderie, the memories that came flooding back, not just for me and Jeff Turner, but, you know, for everybody. I mean, that was a special time when the team was new. It was exciting. It had come through the first 3 or 4 years of NBA history with, I think, a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of energy, just because everything was new. But then in year 4, 5, 6, all of a sudden you're an NBA contender, which is almost unheard of in NBA history, to be a young franchise like that and have a chance to win championships, which we really did in 95 and 96. Those teams were good enough to win a championship. And of course it was all because of Shaq. I mean, he put us on the map. I think it was a no-brainer to retire his jersey. If you're going to retire a jersey in Orlando Magic history, it had to be Shaq number one. And then, you know, then you talk about everybody else after that. So, you know, I know that conversation is ongoing, but it had to be Shaquille O'Neal. He put the franchise on the map. Mm-hmm. It was like traveling with a rock and roll star, an Elton John or a Paul McCartney or somebody like that in the United States. It was, you know, it was just crazy. Everywhere you went, there were large crowds of people trying to get close to the team bus or trying to follow the team bus through the airport security gates to get a glance, you know, as the team got on the airplane. It was a crazy time. And before social media and before, you know, things that would have, in terms of technology, would have raised it to another level. I can't even imagine what Shaq in Orlando would have been like with social media, but it was quite something just as it was.
Yeah, absolutely. Just for me sitting there watching it, I would have given anything to be where G was that night where he saw it in the arena. But watching it on the TV, and I was like, this is special. And I know, because I was just like basically coming into my teenage years when the Magic got Shaq and I got into basketball, and I'll never feel that again, I think, about a player, because it was that childlike look of this mm-hmm. larger-than-life individual. He had the rap career. He used to do some of like the Shaq Fu moves after he dunked. Sometimes I'd be looking at the backboard came down and I was like, what on earth am I watching? It's like watching some type of cartoon or computer game. I had no exposure really to basketball apart from a couple of Michael Jordan bits before then. And I was like, I don't know what I'm watching, but this is awesome. Yeah. And this guy's just like, I didn't know what he was. It was like a superhero playing on the court.
Yeah.
And when he dunked with such ferocity, he used to just come through the TV. So for me, it's never quite going to be the same. So I totally agree. 32 had to be the first number up there.
Penny coming along 1 year later. Penny was almost, he was a big personality too, and an icon nationally with the little Penny dolls, and he had quite a following as well. So with those two together, it just rose to another level. But yeah, you can't replicate that. Those were really special years.
Yeah.
Just didn't last long enough. And unfortunately, with free agency the way it is now, Shaq would have been around for at least 3 more years, because at that time there was unrestricted free agency after your first 4-year rookie contract expired. So the Magic didn't have the ability to match an offer from a competing team. So it changed the next year, unfortunately, for Orlando, which didn't help us, but we could have kept him for sure. And then, if you win a title in year 5 or 6, then who knows what might happen. They might decide to stay and go for more.
It was such a big deal, David. I know Paul's heard me say this before, but I arrived in Orlando the day Shaq announced he was leaving. And I can recount that entire afternoon. I can recount what I watched on the TV live on the news. I can remember key terms from the press conference. I can remember a conversation with a barman when I was just having, like, obviously a non-alcoholic drink back then, but there was so many things where I'm like, that's burned into my mind, because I was like, this is a turning point for the Magic now. And I can still remember saying, and I wasn't trying to be a pessimist, but you can't replace what has just left. And I remember saying that to this barman in a hotel in Lake Buena Vista, we cannot replace what's just left. David Robinson isn't walking through that door tomorrow.
That's right.
And that's about as near as it's going to get.
Yeah. It was a great night to see his jersey go up. And he was really appreciative. He was so kind and complimentary of the organization. And I love seeing him interact with Brian Hill, because, there were some friction with player coach, back when those two were working together. But, as time does often heals wounds and gives you perspective. And I think Shaq now realizes what a great coach Brian Hill was and how much Brian helped him in his early years. So just watching all of those interactions was really special. It was a great night.
Great. Totally agree.
I thought it was really well put together, really well put together. And as you said, David, I think everybody spoke extremely well around, be it from Shaq, be it executives who were there, or be it his colleagues coming back to honour him. I thought it was an excellent night. And I think Gary summed it up really well. Garant was lucky enough to be in the building. We would have loved to have been there as well. Amazing night it looked.
Great.
Let's focus on the now, and well, slightly in the future, I guess, because we're going to look at postseason and hopefully our involvement. I actually have us finishing fourth behind the Knicks, with the Cavs dropping to fifth. So I see us facing home court against the Cavs. That's where I am. What are your thoughts on the playoffs and the prospects for the Magic?
Well, I think they're great. I mean, this feels like a playoff team. It's felt that way really from day one. We've seen 35 years of NBA, and when you're working with and around a team that just has that professionalism and that tenacity, the talent obviously you have to have. We're very young. But still, there's enough talent and enough camaraderie and cohesiveness that I think it's definitely a playoff team. And here we are; we're down to the final couple of the weeks of the season, and we're talking more about seeding and who you'd like to match up with then, you know, are you going to be in the lottery or are you going to make the play-in tournament? So it's really a nice change. It's exciting. And, you know, I think you could be right, but things can go kind of crazy the last couple of weeks the season. So we'll just hold on and we'll see what happens. We, you know, the big thing is we got to get some wins. We just got to keep piling up the wins and just see how many we can get, see how far we can rise. And, you know, there's nothing we can do about what New York and Cleveland and Indiana, we don't play any of those teams. Nope. We do have head to head with Philadelphia still. We're done with Boston. So, you know, we'll just see where it plays out. I would like to see, I think our team outside of Boston, I just don't see any team that's really a dominant team over the others that are playoff caliber teams. So, you know, if you could be in the bracket that avoids Boston until the Eastern Conference Finals, then I think obviously you'd have a better chance of getting to the conference championship. And then if you get there, who knows what happens. And we do know that we compete very, very well against Boston. We've had success the last couple of years. So that would be very exciting.
But how far do you think the team could actually get?
Well, I think I just said it. I think definitely could get to the Eastern Finals. I do. I think that's a, you know, depending upon the brackets, if you're when you're matching up with Boston, they're such a superior team from start to finish in the regular season. You know, it's just hard to see them laying an egg in the postseason. But you know, you never know what might happen. There are injuries and matchups are different. And again, we match up pretty well against them. And I think we match up well against New York. I think we can handle Cleveland. You know, so all of the other teams, Philadelphia, if they get Embiid back, then they're probably a different animal. That's going to be a problem for someone. If Philadelphia does get Joel Embiid back. But again, I don't think there's a great team in the East outside of the Boston Celtics.
Interesting. I do think a matchup with New York could be really entertaining. I think it'd be a hell of a physical series, really quite a throwback series almost, I suppose, in some ways.
It would be a rock fight. It would be physical, it would be nasty, there would be, you know, some rivalries that form. I think we've got some guys that are not going to back down. They've got guys that wouldn't back down, and two coaches that teach that toughness and want their teams to play physical basketball. That would be some kind of match. Cleveland also is a very good defensive team. So, you know, you're going to have your hands full with any of these teams. I'm not saying that, you know, the Magic are going to cruise through, but I do think those series would be winnable for this Orlando Magic ball club.
I've said it before on the pod. I've said it, Paul, just 1-1 as well. I quite like how the Magic match up with the Bucks and the Pacers. The two matchups I think we potentially could cause some real problems in inside against Indiana. I think Paolo in particular could get what he wants. And against the Bucks, Jonathan Isaac against Giannis, Jalen Suggs on Dame Lillard, it's then all to play for when we know the Bucks in the playoffs since the championship. For me, guys like Lopez and Middleton have had issues. So I quite like the idea of, okay, if we can bring down the performance with our two defensive kingpins of their two best players, what's left? And I quite like the look of that.
I agree with you too, Gary. I think the matchup is favorable with those two teams for sure. Maybe even more so than Cleveland and New York, you know, based on what we've seen. But, you know, I mean, Giannis and Lillard are, they're great players, but you're right. Yeah. You know, we do have the right guys to match up against those two superstars in Suggs and Jonathan Isaac. And Isaac's play is just incredibly important for this team. Yeah. If they're going to make a deep run in the postseason, I mean, he is, as we've seen here recently, as his minutes have crept up to 23, 24, 25 minutes, he has a significant impact every night he steps on the floor. So that's pretty exciting. He may have about topped out at 25 minutes, but we'll see. Maybe he can get up closer to 30. And, you know, for every minute that Jonathan Isaac plays, we're just a little closer to winning a lot more games.
I agree. He's got an all-star level impact whenever he's on the court. It's there. If you just watch the game, like I know we do, but if you just people watch the game, put the box score even to one side, and the things that don't show up in the box score, absolutely, it changes everything. Changes everything.
Well, Sacramento game, that was probably the clearest example on last Saturday night. It was like two different teams when he was on the floor and when he was not on the floor. And, you know, that's pretty special when you have that kind of ability to impact an NBA game with the greatest athletes in the world. He's really a special player.
Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of led us into the next question, David, but obviously we're going to get a lot of media attention nationally with the playoffs, which is obviously welcomed, but there's going to be people who haven't paid attention to the Magic watching Magic games. So what do you think their takeaway is? This anything that we would just take for granted will be when the last ball has been tossed on the court? What do you think they'll be?
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that. It's I think that they'll be saying, where do these guys come from? Where have they been all year? Because I don't think there's been, there hasn't been a lot of attention. The spotlight has not been on the team, which I think is good. I think that's fine. We have a young group with just a couple of exceptions. And I think it's good to fly under the radar for as long as possible for a young group that hasn't had that much attention, because it's different. You know, when Golden State walks into a building with their history, they've got a big bullseye on their backs and, there's fans everywhere, cameras going off. And, you know, it's a different world when you've been to the mountaintop and you're the hunted as opposed to a rising young team. And, you know, that's to be expected. That's what you're going to get. But I think it's good for a young team not to have, you know, too much hoopla around them, because it's coming. And, you know, they're going to have to learn how to tune things out and tune the right things in, stay focused, not get too high and too low. And that's where I think the coach comes in. I think, you know, you ask what are fans going to find out? What's anything about this team? They'll find out that Jamal Mosley is really a good coach and that his players would run through a wall for him and give him everything that they've got every night. So, you know, that gives me hope that this group can do some special things with the talent and the coaching. They're really a together unit. It can be fun. It's going to be a fun postseason.
Again, David, that leads us into the next question, because I wanted to ask you around, and this is the final one for you. I wanted to ask you, and it is a two-parter, but it's around the coaching and the backroom staff. The first part was about the growth of Coach Mosley and what we see on an almost daily basis for yourself, I guess, both in practice and on a game day. He's so well respected around the league. What does he actually bring to this young group?
I think it was Mike Brown, Paul, the other night. He gets the visiting coaches always get questions about Jamal in the pregame media press conference. And it's interesting to listen to the other coaches talk about Jamal Mosley. I think it was Mike Brown, who has known Jamal since he was very young, probably a college player, right out of college, maybe. And Mike said that the thing that really stands out, there are many, but he said his presence is the way Mike put it. And that's really true. I mean, it's hard to put your finger on it, but when you're in the room with him, there's a radiance, there's just a genuineness that flows out of him. He cares about his players. He cares about his people. He'll walk into our interview room before the game. I interview him before every game. And the cameraman, there's two cameramen in there. And there's one production guy. And there's three production people in there. And me and Jamal. And without exception, he knows them by name. He asks them how their families are. That's just three guys that work the TV crew. I mean, he's amazing. He goes through the arena, glad handing people, talking to people. He's a relationship person with an incredible presence. And so that's what he's done with the players. The way I would describe it is the first year he was with the club 3 years ago, he became their best friend. And there wasn't, you know, he didn't crack the whip much. I think probably he knew we weren't going to win a lot of games. He developed relationships with the young players, especially with all the players. And then as we've gotten better, you know, he's gotten more disciplined, more open and honest. And not that he wasn't open and honest before, but criticism and holding guys accountable. And now that he has developed the relationships, the personal relationships for 2 years, you know, they know where he's coming from. They know that he's coming from a place of respect for them and in their best interest, just in trying to get everybody to get on the same page and to promote every player becoming as great as he possibly can. They all understand that. They respect him. So I think that's what he's done. He worked on relationships, which I think he does naturally. That's just who he is. And now he's gotten very serious about the business of winning a lot of basketball games. So, you know, it may not be as much fun in games, although I still think he jokes around a lot. But, you know, there's a seriousness about the situation, too. And, you know, these guys, they really want to win. They want to win for him. They want to win for the city. They want to win for each other. And they think they've got a shot to do something special. If not this year, then without a doubt in the next 2, 3, 4 years.
Effectively, you've just given a definition of leadership there. That is absolutely bang on what that man does. Perfect. The second part, and I watch the broadcast, and you always see him in and around, and the players clearly respect him massively. But how important has the hiring of Arne Kander been to this group of players?
Well, it's hard to measure, but I can just tell you that you talk about somebody that has the respect of everybody. That's Arne. He has brought a real professionalism to that area of the basketball operations. His depth of knowledge, the players obviously respond to him. He seems to have, again, it's the personality, it's his presence that that players respond to. And they know that he cares about them and that he's looking out for their best interest. I think he's been a big factor. I definitely do. I don't know what he's carrying around in that little bag. We still can't figure out what he's got in there. And we tease him about it. But, you know, whatever it is, it's working.
That has to be, when you do find out, I'm guessing that that's a subject for Is This Anything?
No question about it.
Because something's changed with this team. Since he's arrived, I agree something's changed. Amazing. Well, David, I know that you have grandfather duties awaiting you, and good luck to your grandson in his game. What is it again? Is it softball, did you say?
Baseball. Big Little League baseball game today. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. Well, it's fun. I know you're a new grandparent too, so you understand what it's all like. It's awesome.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you don't want to miss out. You do not want to miss out, so we are not going to keep you any longer. I want to say a massive thank you again, David, for joining us, because it is always such a pleasure. You know, we'd talk to you for hours and hours, but to get half an hour of your time and hear your perspective on where we are on this team at this moment in time is phenomenal. Thanks, Paul.
I appreciate having me on. I see the bobbleheads up on the wall, Paul. We'll have to get a palo to you, and Gary.
I'm hoping that this...
Please.
Yeah, it's... Well, I've virtually got a full side at that then. What would I have? If we get a palo added, there will be Penny, Jalen, Markel, J.I. and Paolo. That'd be a good lineup.
That's a good group. I'd take that team against anybody. So, I don't know about the bobblehead dolls, but I'd take the real players.
The real guys. David, thank you so much. And as always, we've got to say go Magic on this one. Definitely, mate.
Yes, sir. Thanks. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Right. Let's get on to the final section of this. The week ahead, we have 10 games remaining as the Magic. We have a 42-30 record. We sit fifth in the East. We are chasing Cleveland in fourth, who have a 44-29 record. So they've played a game more than ourselves. The Pacers sit at sixth. in a 41-33 record. We are three games clear of Miami in seventh, and eighth is the Philadelphia 76ers, and we are four games clear of them, three games. Mm-hmm. But again, they have played an extra game. According to Tankathon, we have the 19th hardest remaining schedule, Cleveland the 16th, and Indy the 18th, so very much clumped together. We record our next episode on Thursday the 4th of April, and the Magic will be playing the Clippers and Grizzlies on a back-to-back Friday, Saturday. Then Monday, it's the visit of Portland to close this homestand, and then on Wednesday, we are on the road in New Orleans. So, Gary, to finish, brief thoughts on what is to come. What's your hopes? And obviously, 4-0, but less. What's your thoughts? Where do you see it?
I don't see it going 4-0. Sorry, Paul. I would love to see it going 4-0. That would be the dream, but I don't think that's going to be the case. I wouldn't be surprised if it was a 2-2, a Desmond.
Yep.
A 2-2. Yeah,
that's what I'm absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you look at the teams that we're playing with the Clippers, they are very much in a fight for seeding. They are in that same boat as us, fighting for the to hold on to for them the fourth seed. The Pelicans, they are the team fighting the Clippers for fourth, fifth. I know we don't play Dallas, but they are breathing down the neck of both those two teams. You then throw in that, okay, Memphis, they don't really have anything to play for. Portland, they don't have anything to play for. But those two other games are, they are the same situation as we've just experienced with Sacramento and Golden State. They are two teams that really, really need those wins. And again, do they have that experience that we perhaps don't? I don't know. I'll be honest with you, mate. I see it as you've said, 2-2. I will take a Desmond quite happily. I don't think that's a bad week for us, irrespective. I've not looked at the schedule of the other teams, but if we keep taking care of our own business against a couple of, I refuse to say easier teams, but sub 500 at this point in time, then that's excellent to start with. That's two wins that you've secured. Mm-hmm. And if you could take a win against either the Clippers or the Pelicans on the road, that's perhaps a hard one. I don't see why we can't beat... I'll be honest, I don't see why we can't beat the Clippers on home court. I really don't.
Cortez has gone on the record and said Orlando will beat the Clippers.
Yeah. I also think that there will... You've got to hope that there is that element within this Magic squad that are looking and saying, we should have had a win against Sacramento. We could have had a win, and we didn't play well against Golden State, and you come and they come out and give a reaction, a bounce back performance. That's what I'm hoping for, and I'll be surprised. I'll be honest. I'll be surprised if we don't see that. I'll be very surprised if we don't see that. The Grizzlies on the second night of a back to back. We've not been amazing on back to back still this season. That's still one of them things where we are learning how to take care of business. But they are sub 500, and we are perfect at home against sub 500 teams.
So, do you play GI against the Clippers or the Grizzlies?
Clips.
Okay.
Clippers.
So there's two ways to look at that. It's where it's a case of do you guarantee the win against the Clips and against the Grizzlies, and then see what happens, or do you think we've got enough to get by the Grizzlies and throw it at the Clippers? Because I tell you now, I don't think Gary Harris is fit for those games. If we see Gary Harris for the last regular season game, we're doing well, because I have had that injury that Gary Harris has had before. And I'm telling you right now, you can be walking around, but the second you start running on that, if you've got any degree of a bad plantar strain, it can recur just like that.
Yeah.
So I don't know where it will be. It could be in his toe that's causing it. It could be in his calf, but there'll be something. I hope he's got a really good physio working on that. But it took me weeks to get over that.
Yeah, I don't think we see him. I think we see Caleb back.
I do.
We don't see Caleb back. I don't expect to see Gary. It's a shame because it's changing at that starting unit that was beginning to get settled. But it's what it is. Injuries are part and parcel of sport.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to adapt and you have to have a team that can adapt to those injuries. Again, all part of that learning curve. But I can see us going 2-2 and possibly nicking one.
Yeah. 2-2. Anything less than 2-2 is a disaster. When you factor in that you've got Memphis and Portland, that'll be bad. But if you put 2-2 out of four games are running out, it means that the other teams have got to be at least 500.
Yeah.
At that point, which we're capable of. And I still think the run into the end of the season, we've got Milwaukee twice, could be interesting because that could hold a few keys depending on what they really want.
Yeah. It depends what their plans are at that point in time, how much they've got to play for.
Tell you what, if I was the Milwaukee Bucks and I was locked in the top three, I'm putting Middleton, I'm putting Brook Lopez in cotton wool.
What about you? What was it? A couple of seasons ago, you were at the Magic Miami
game,
the final game of the season. How many stars did you see?
This is the thing.
It was almost a G League competition, wasn't it? It was one of those.
I had a good few beers with Cortez before and a few tackles. That was pretty good. Got a fist bump off Mo Bamba. You know, is what it is.
Injury.
Surprised he didn't miss.
On that will do it for this week. To everyone, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. We want to say a big thank you, as always, to our patrons. Incredible support. Barry Conn, Paolo and Franz Warmth, Ollie Law, Gary Clark, Angus Craig, Dylan Holden, Alan Kane, Tom Soane, Mark Joss, Sean Moore, Liam Radbourne, Andy Lindley, Stuart Benzies, Drum, and Podfather Phil loves Hazy Northwestern. We really do appreciate you. If you are interested in joining our Patreon, three tiers will be available, varying benefits. Check us out on our website or visit patreon.com/ Let's Talk Magic. Enjoy today's episode. Please hit the subscribe button on our YouTube channel. Give it a thumbs up. Comments, questions, talk to us. We absolutely love getting involved, but please do not forget to subscribe. Also, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, X, all our socials are at Let's Talk. Sorry, all are at _ Let's Talk Magic. So from Gary, myself, and the absent two, Mikey and Garant, let's go Magic. Let's get another big week under.